podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
Oh, you hear said in movies, you hear said in the word, in certain people, just a statement, flippantly, the end of the world. Hollywood loves it, apocalypse. This the destruction of this world as we know it today. And as I said last week, some people didn't want to hear this news, but the truth of it is this world as we know it today has a death sentence on it. It's on death row. It's a death sentence that was pronounced at the fall in the garden, but I want to go a little deeper. Maybe I was in just a little bit of error last week. It was really a death sentence that actually began at the fall of Satan from heaven down to the earth. Going a little deeper this morning. It began there. When Satan fell and his rebellious angels fell, they fell into that darkness and that void that we know was the world. It was a place initially of punishment. Man was never created to be in this situation in the first place. That's a learning for another day. This death sentence is only delayed because of the love of Jesus for man that he created that was very, very special to him. Do you know who you are today? I'm going to tell you right now, whether you love God or not, you are special to him. This death sentence, as we said last week, only delayed for a while because his desire being that no man or woman that he created perishes because he loves what he created when he created you. That's the message of the gospel. It's really the message of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the message of the God, should not perish. And we often hear that word perishing and we think like a roadkill or dog, you die and it's over. No, I'm sorry, but even more fearsome is the fact that perishing, biblical perishing, be it for man or for an angel, is not simply ceasing to exist. It is sharing the eternal destiny with the Lord that you choose by default when you refuse to, when you reject the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. It's by default a choice. When you decide not to choose Jesus as Lord and Savior, by default, even if you don't say his name, you're saying, I give over to the lordship of Satan. Man and angels, come on, we're going in the word this morning. Anybody ready to go in the word a little bit? Man and angels are both created as eternal beings. You sit here today an eternal being. Oh, this body is going to, you know. But the essence of who you are is eternal. The only question for man and angels is where and with whom that eternity will be spent. The gospel. It means the good news. It's good news because it's the way out. That's the grace of Jesus. That's the love of Jesus for you. Let me go a little deeper. For those who've been in this church a while, you've heard this before, but maybe I'm going to come from another angle, but I think we need a constant reminder, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Ever since the fall in the garden, we are actually living today, right now, in a domain that was intended for Satan and the legions of angels. The Bible says in Revelation 12 that 1/3 of the angels fell from heaven when Satan, that's a lot. That's why I said we are legions. We call them demons today or whatever. We're legions. 1/3 of the angels, they call them the stars of heaven. That's why Satan in the Revelation is referred to. You were the grandest star. And 1/3 of those stars of heaven were cast down to the earth before man was created. Fell with Satan. And this is his domain. That is why in John 14, 30, Jesus calls Satan. Jesus says that you are the ruler of this world. It's out of the mouth of Jesus. John 14, 30. And Paul declared a great truth in 2 Corinthians 4, 4. He said, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel. Right now, you are in a world, in a domain where Satan rules. Some of you are looking at me like, when Jesus speaks, we need to listen. When Jesus prays, we need to pay close attention. And I go often in my prayer life to this prayer that Jesus prayed. I'm going to read a little piece of what he prayed on that last eve before he was crucified in John 17, 9 through 11. And listen, he's talking about believers. He's talking about disciples. He's praying for them. He says, I pray for them. He said, in other words, I pray for you who call yourself my disciples, all my disciples. And listen, he said, I do not pray for the world. Whoa. Okay. He said, I do not pray for the world. I pray for you. For those who you have given me, for they are yours. And he says, all mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. But listen, he says, you know, something just a little preemptively. He says, now I am no longer in the world. He says, I'm getting up out of here. But these are in the world. And I come to you. In other words, he's saying right there, I did my thing as a man. I did what I came to do, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the teaching of Father, being Jesus up out of this stinking world. Take me out. I'm done. No longer in the world. But these disciples, they're staying. And he said, but I come to you, Father. And then on down in John 17, starting verse 14, he says, I have given them your word. I came to this, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world. Look at somebody telling you're not of this world, or you shouldn't be. He said, just as I am not of the world. And listen, he says in verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. You know, something in me, in my flesh, wants to say, really, Jesus? Why couldn't you just take us all with you? He said, a specific prayer to the Father, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Why would he pray that? Something would tell me that the evil one is after you. So here we are in this crazy world where Satan for now rules, is spinning out. Here we are, believers, non-believers, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the evil one. That's the one in charge of this world, and 1/3 of these bad angels down from heaven, these demons from heaven, and they're trying to drag everybody down. And even for believers, Even for me, even for you, at times it's easy to lose what I'm going to talk a little bit about today, your spiritual sanity. Anybody ever feel like you're going crazy? Am I the only one? Let me see a show of hands. There's the times you feel like spiritually, I'm going crazy. I mean, let me tell you what spiritual insanity looks like when it's creeping in. You feel kind of hopeless. No peace of mind. You're having a hard time finding your joy. You kind of find yourself mad most of the time. Don't even know why, just mad. Or you find yourself just sad all the time, or just hostile. I'm mad at everything. Anybody have those days? I mean, come on, it comes out, road rage, driving down the street, you go to work, your boss, your children, your husband, your wife. I mean, mad at the church, you're mad at me, I'm mad at you. I mean, it's like, you know. And then, you know, I step back a little bit and I look at what the word says and I realize, you know what? I'm feeling kind of spiritually insane. A lot of y'all don't like that word. You don't want to admit you're crazy sometimes. I see, you know. It's all right. That's another sign. Sometimes just feel a little down and out. Okay, that was the introduction that we're ready now. So last week I talked about the way, and it was the way out. But this week the Lord moved me on and said, okay, we want to talk about the way part two, and this time it's the way up. When you're down, when you're feeling a little bit insane, what's the way back up? So we're going to move down this next step in the Bible. We're just going to walk through the Bible post-resurrection for a few weeks. Is that okay? So we're going to move to the book of Acts. And we're going to start in a chapter. What's a good chapter to start? What's a good verse to start? Y'all been around here a minute. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. This is written by Luke. And it's written from an apostle that never really walked with Jesus face to face. And it's written to a man who's a Gentile. He's not even a Jew. And so Luke is taking this understanding that he got face to face from the men who walk with him, men and women that walk with him. And he writes this holy word that the Lord chooses to call the word of God and places it in the Bible. And he said, the former account I made, and the former account he's talking about is the gospel of Luke. O Theophilus, Greek, not a Jew. Saved like you and me, Gentile. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Tell your neighbor it was infallible proofs. Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. See, they wanted the disciples wanted this to be now. Get us up out of here now. And he said, no, just slow your roll a minute. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You're going to have power. And I got some work for you to do. I need you to be my witnesses to generations that will come, beginning right there in Jerusalem and then the surrounding area of Judea and then down the road to Samaria and then around the world. But I'm leaving you here in this dirt for a little while longer. And it says, now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. We've been to that place, and we'll go back to Israel in about a year and a half, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, good ones, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in a like manner as you saw him go into heaven." The way up. And just because I love this connection in the Bible, and you've heard it before two or three times, but I love the way that was the view of the disciples. And some say it was the 120 with them. Some say it was when he appeared to the 500 at one time, and I wasn't there, so I don't know for sure. But Daniel prophesied, he saw a little different view of the same day, the same events. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, 13 to 14, he says, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man." This is Old Testament now. "Coming with the clouds of heaven." He said, "Behold, one like the Son of Man." That's always referred. They watched him go up in the clouds. Daniel is watching. His vision is him coming up from heaven in the cloud. And he says he came to the Ancient of Days. In other words, he came to his father. And they brought him near before him. I imagine hosts and angels of heaven escorting the resurrected Jesus back to his father. And it says, "To him was given dominion and a glory and a kingdom." To him, now that you've been obedient to the cross, now that you've paid the price for their sins, now I'm gonna transfer this inheritance that once belonged totally to the Father, to him, to Jesus, was given a dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is what? An everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. His kingdom, the one, in other words, that implies there's another that will be destroyed. But he said, his kingdom is the one that will not be destroyed. Maintaining spiritual sanity in a spiritually insane world is nothing new. It's the same struggle. The same struggle as it was for his disciples. It's just a new day. Okay, we're living in a spiritually insane world. We're living in a world that we know that is a kingdom ruled by Satan. But there's another kingdom that Jesus preached that's everlasting, that's his. When you become a believer, you become a Christian, you are now, we're going to talk about this a little more, no longer a citizen of. No. My citizenship is in. Even though physically I'm still down here in this junk. And physically I'm still down here where Satan rules. And physically I'm sitting down here with one third of the angels of heaven, these demonics that want to nip at our heels and harass us all day long. But here we are. I'm going to give you some. This is just for me. I just said, "Lord, what do I do when I'm losing my mind spiritually?" And it happens every now and then. I fake it up here sometimes, you know, I'm not often, but sometimes I come up here and say, "Lord, give me sanity just to preach this message, because right now this place is crazy." Can I be honest this morning? The first thing I had to do is 7 points. Point number one, I have to step back and I have to realize that his world, Jesus' world, is bigger than my world. In other words, it's easy for me to lose the big picture of what he's doing because of what's going on in my little slice. In other words, my world, this world, and even my view of the world was become way more than about me. Because when I shrink it down, even my outlook and the way I see things and the way I do things and begin to think it's about me and mine, I find a little spiritual insanity starting to slip in. In other words, I have to analyze my world using his vision. My marriage, his vision. My parents, my children through his vision. My mom through his vision. My world, this church, I have to stand back and look at it. And even when I see it, and even when I look at it and may get frustrated or even have great joy, which I have most of the time, to be honest, I still have to step back and see it through his vision and his purposes. See, sometimes even as a pastor, you can step back and see great church, mega church, whatever, whatever, and begin to see it through your vision, and you get in trouble. Because you begin to think, oh, this is mine. Pride comes before the fall. Isaiah 45:18 says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited." He says, "I am the Lord, and there is none other." Not with a big L, anyway. The second thing I have to do when I'm finding myself slipping into just a little bit of spiritual insanity, I have to step back and realize that my life is longer than this world. I mean, these are things I really do consciously sit back and when it's going crazy and or some sickness hits you and twice I've been told by doctors you're not going to live, you know, I have to step back and say, you know what? My life is longer than any words that come out of your mouth, doctor. My life is longer than this world. My life is longer than downtown Atlanta. My life is longer. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 28:16-20, you know, it's easy to miss over. He says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I'm with you always. I'm with you, Gilbert. I'm with you, Ralph. I'm with you, Angie. I'm with you, Mike. I'm with you, call your name. He says, even to the end of the age, to the end of the age, not to the end of your life. He said, "I'm with you to the end of the age," whenever that is, and that is beyond your natural lifespan. He said, "I am with you." When they roll you up in a casket and lay you up here, and that dead body, and it's dead, he said, "You live eternally. I am with you still." John 11:25-27, I love what Jesus said in this conversation with Martha. And the Bible says Jesus said to her, you know, she was struggling with Lazarus, her brother being dead and all that. He looked dead. He smelled dead. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die," what does it say? "He shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall what?" So what? And then he asks us, just like I'm asking you, do you believe this? You see, if you don't believe this, this world would drive you spiritually insane. Jesus said, "Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into this dirty world to raise my brother from the dead, to raise me from the dead, to raise everybody who calls on your name from the dead. I believe that you have come down from heaven into this world, into where Satan rules for a purpose. Because you love me and he loves you that much." See, if I don't keep these things in my mind when my life starts looking crazy, I start getting crazy too. And the number one place it comes out on me is when I get behind the wheel of that Ford F-150. My wife can tell you, when I'm mad, I will run somebody. No, I won't say that. Look at her, she's so good. Here's the third thing that I have to realize. Realize you have a different nature of existence. What does that mean? You have a different nature of existence. In other words, I know y'all want to hear this, but anybody ever look at E.T.? And him talking about aliens? You know, wonder if life out there, if there's alien life out there. Let me tell you, there's alien life on Earth, and it's you. You don't have to look for E.T. Look down the road. There he is, you know. From somewhere else. Now, in the same prayer John said, Jesus prayed in John 17, 14, he said, I've given them your word, the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Come on, when Jesus prays, you need to listen. They're not of the world. He said, just as I'm not of the world. You have a different nature of existence. You might as well accept the fact that to the world, you are weird. To the world? No, you're not from here. You couldn't be from here. I've had family tell me that. You ain't like the rest of the world. I said, oh, yep. You don't think like the rest of the world. Yeah, that's true. The fourth thing I have to, when I'm going spiritually insane, anybody feeling better yet? See yourself. I have to see myself. When I look in the mirror, I have to see myself in the light of who Christ is now. And I have to live my life in the light of who Christ is in me. And listen, church, then I have to willingly accept whatever that looks like to any family or friends that no longer understand me. Oh, I know I look strange to you. I know. I understand I look strange to you. But my heart, my love is you, is that you'll start looking a little strange too. And that we'll become familiar rather than strangers. So let me preach this gospel to you. Have to willingly accept, be willing to accept. If you're not going to go insane, see, if you're not willing to accept that when these things come, you'll go kind of crazy because you'll still be trying to make, you know, your brothers and your sisters happy and them old friends and all that, and you'll feel torn apart. If you're not willing to accept the persecutions and criticisms, and the people that would despise actually come. I have family members that despise my life decisions and values. And if I'm not willing to accept that, just like Jesus accepted, he said he had no answer for his accusers, but I am who I am. Philippians 3:18 says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, this is Paul appealing to a church to understand these things. And now he said, I tell you even with weeping that there are people, there are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is their destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things just like you and I once did and we still struggle with sometimes today. Listen, but he says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Come on, you aliens out there. Our citizenship is in heaven. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My citizenship in heaven, but I'm down here in this dirty world ruled by Satan and one third of his bad angels. I wanted to put another word between the bad and the angels, but I'll pass. Since I'm in church. waiting. Come on, I gave that language up 99% of the time. Come on. But then also remember, Jesus said, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. You know, if I find where I lose that in the truth of what it said in Philippians, I start going spiritually insane, because when I start failing to love my enemies and bless those who curse me, and I begin to become combative, that's when I know I'm kind of going spiritually insane. He didn't say emulate your enemies. We need to carry that into our politics with these elections coming up. The fifth thing, after always will remember, always remember, when I feel like I'm going kind of crazy, and my wife is pretty good at reminding me, she's kind of, you know, you're going crazy. Always have to remember that Christ has authority over my life and all life. He has authority over Satan. He has authority over those one-third of the stars that fell from heaven. He has final authority over this fallen world that Satan rules right now. And he has final authority over my life. He has the final authority, even though most of the world lives and believes that they have the final authority. They do not. He has the final authority. And to think that he does not have the final authority, to live your life as if you have a final authority, or if you really have any authority in your life, that is spiritual insanity. It's insane. The sixth thing that I have to do. I mean, I'm telling you for real. I don't just like, you know, look these up or something. These are things I go through. It's, when I look at the news, it's cray cray. I mean, it's crazy. And I've had to stand back, and here's what I do. I view the events of the world in the reality of who Christ is and what he's doing. I have to step back and get beyond the story. Get beyond the murders. Get beyond the rapes, get beyond the crazy politics, even though those things are real and they're people and they hurt, and I understand that. But if I'm going to process it down to my soul correctly, I have to look at it through a lens of where we are. We're in a world where Satan rules. We're in a world where one-third of his angels were cast down and they're running around here like crazy dogs, intent on making people do crazy stuff. That's why the Bible says your battle isn't against the flesh and blood. It's so easy to look at TV and see only flesh and blood, even though at times flesh and blood is hurting and it's our call to help. Yes, we do have a responsibility to do whatever we can to make this crazy place at least tolerable. But if I look at the news and if I don't filter correctly, I'll go to bed mad, angry, hating people because of their race or politics or whatever, hating even the people in my own neighborhood at times because they acting crazy, and nobody wants to talk about it. If you don't see this world and your life experiences in the light of the big picture of what Christ is doing, you will go spiritually insane. Am I talking to anybody yet? I'm here to tell you the problems are real. Pain is real. Come on, failure is real. This stuff that we go through, life is real. Come on, highs, I'm not trying to pretend that nothing. Highs and lows are real. Joy is real. Grieving is real. Our emotions are real. Needs and wants in our life are absolutely real. Hunger is hunger. Pain is pain. But if you don't step back and look at everything through the light of who Christ is, I'm telling you, those things will not only be real, they would drive you insane. And I'm going to tell you, it's harder these days than ever before because of the onslaught, I'm going to tell you, of continual media, social media, news media, advertisement media, entertainment media. It's all, we're in a life today like never before where it's almost impossible just to hit the pause button so you can rest your mind and your spirit. Constant. My wife forgetting what even the nature of our vacations are changing. This last place we went, it was 8 days, and we didn't even know it. God always knows. We go to Nevis off St. Kitts. Been there before. We took 2 planes, 2 vans, and a boat to get there. I said, finally, Lord, I don't think they can find me. And we go to this little place. Walk in the room, first thing we look around, the shutters that won't close all the way. It's nice. Look, there's no TV. It's nice now. It's just on the water. All you can hear night and day. Even in the whole hotel, there was only one little, 19-inch TV in the lobby. The whole place. Wild goats and donkeys walking around. You'd be on the beach. I mean, seriously. And all we heard for 8 days was the wind, the water, each other. Internet, it was bad. I said, oh, this is what peace of mind feels like. I forgot. You have to be intentional these days. We got home, and the first thing I told Mona, I said, do not turn that TV on. I did. I said, don't touch it. Peter wrote some reminders to stay sane in this world. I'm going to read this letter that Peter wrote. And it's a great letter that we need to listen to. And Peter chapter 3. Let's just go through the whole chapter. We got a little time. It's Beloved, I love when it starts, beloved. And he's talking not so much of his love, he's talking about Christ's love, beloved. I now write to you this second epistle, that was 1 Peter, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. How many know we need a little reminder? That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? How many of you know it's been a while? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue. Notice he didn't say died, he said fell asleep. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they will willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished. He's talking about in Noah being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. See, when God flooded the earth, he made a covenant rainbow that never again will I destroy this world with water. Next time, by fire. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Come on, can we kind of see, even with natural eyes, how these things that were not even really feasible, possible, at least in a natural thinking way in the days of Peter, are now possible today? Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons are you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. So, but you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Come on, worship team. Just keep growing, growing, growing. Don't stop growing. Don't be as so many believers that they fall out of any way of teaching and any way of church and all this. And those, I can tell you right now, if they do, they're not growing. They're hearing no teacher, no preacher, no prophet. No apostle, no. He says, grow. He said, keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And when you have those down days, and you will have them, I have them, you will have them, when you feel like you're losing your spiritual sanity, how many again just feel it sometimes? Remember the way. Come on, the way up. The way up. Let me give you some of my key verses, just a few out of my little notes that I go to when I'm feeling a little insane. Isaiah 12, verse 2, you might want to make a note. Isaiah 12, verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Yahweh is my strength and song. And he also has become my salvation. Come on, who else you looking to? Who else are you looking to? He's my strength and my song. Come on, someone that we preach very, very seldom, Nahum, the prophet Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. He says, the Lord is good. Come on, I don't care what's going on in my life. Tell somebody the Lord is good. Just tell them. I don't care what's going on. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. Come on, what does that mean? That means you're going to have some trouble. But he said, the Lord is good, and he is a stronghold in my day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Who trusted him this morning? Anybody trust in him this morning? That means he knows you, and he's your stronghold in a day of trouble. Come on, and every believer been around a minute. Love Psalm 21, 1 through 2. I will lift up my eyes. Come on, look up. Which way? Which way? I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. I don't know where your help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. My help comes from the Lord. And when I get to feeling a little down or a little crazy, I have to lift my head up. Look where my salvation comes from. I have to look up to where I live. See, I don't live in this mess. I don't know about you, but you can claim it if you want to. I exist here, but it's not where I live. And then I know I said 7 points, and I say the seventh one to last. Here's what I have to do. When it get crazy, it'll probably get crazy before I get home. I have to learn to pray until I feel sane again. I just pray until I feel sane again. I'm feeling crazy. Pray until how long? Until I feel sane again. So Paul said in Philippians 4:6, he said, be anxious for nothing. How much is nothing? What's nothing? Nothing is what? He said, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. See, we forget that part. You know, when things get negative, I take my eye off all the positives. And I'm not thankful. I see that. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I mean, I appreciate it, God. But all I see is the negative. So no, sometimes I have to kind of turn my back a little bit on the negative and say, like David, Lord, I can look back on what you've done. And how can I doubt what you're doing? Let your requests be made known to God. Come on, I'm going to give a call right now. Just anybody here want to give your life to the Lord today? Come on, if this is the day of your salvation, just wave your hand at me. I'm not going to assume anything. Just wave your hand. I know we got the after Easter crowd, which means most of you, if not all of you, already know the Lord. Come on, let's keep it real now. But thank God for all the salvations last week. But this week, if this is the day you just want to give your life to Jesus, just wave your hand right now. Am I missing any hands right now? Because praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here's what I want to do. Give you a little time to pray. Either mentally or on your phone, on a piece of paper. What tends to make you feel spiritually insane? What situation? I know some of you got a long list. I got a long list. What's the top one or two, maybe? The one or two things that just right now, that situation, that person, that relative, that hope deferred or whatever, just take a note right now and write it down. What we're gonna do, we're gonna pray. We're gonna do step seven, we're gonna pray. What is it? And we just give some time to pray in here, just to pray. And I really believe that we're gonna leave feeling a little more sane than maybe we were when we came in.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, download our NCC app, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. Thank you and have a blessed week.